Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Monday, February 6, 2023. And today we are joining the White House live, where Vice President Kamala Harris hosts a meeting with U.S. government leaders and private sector representatives to advance efforts to address the root causes of migration from northern Central America. So let's join Vice President Kamala Harris in her address right now.
Joined with our friends in the private sector, we can take advantage of the skills and the innovation that they so uniquely in so many situations are able to accomplish and grow. So we have made great and significant progress together thus far, and today we will launch the next steps in our efforts and the next phase in our efforts. Early on in our administration, President Biden asked me to lead the U.S. government's focus on addressing the root causes of migration, in particular from Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala. Since then, my approach has been guided by three principles, as many of you here have heard over and over again. One, I do, and I think we all believe, that people generally do not want to leave home. And when they do, it is because they are either fleeing some harm or because staying home will mean that they cannot satisfy the basic needs of their family and themselves. Two, we believe and are guided by the principle that governments must collaborate to manage migration. And that means through bilateral, trilateral, multilateral relationships and dialogue, but also what we must do to address the issue requires that we partner with the private sector. If we are to have lasting impact or even profound impact. Three, to effectively address the root causes of migration, we must also, and this is absolutely a guiding principle, promote good governance, reduce violence, and empower women. With this approach, I led the development of the root causes strategy, which was released in July of 2021. In addition, about two months before that, in May, I launched a call to action to encourage private sector investments in Honduras, El Salvador, and Guatemala, in recognition, again, that government cannot do this work alone. This summer, at the Summit of the Americas in Los Angeles, I announced that working with the Partnership for Central America, we generated more than $3.2 billion in investments. These investments have created jobs. These investments have increased access to the financial system, including to the internet. These investments have allowed small businesses, which have the potential not only in the United States but around the world, and in particular in this region, have the potential to really thrive if they have access to financing. And so that has been also a target of the financing that we have been providing. And for example, then, in terms of the product of this work thus far, over 1 million people have been brought into the formal financial economy, including 65,000 people who now have bank accounts because of our work. And 4 more million people are now connected to the internet. This is part of the progress that we have achieved thus far. Our root causes strategy and these investments represent a long-term development effort, but we are already beginning to see positive trends. Data from the Department of Homeland Security shows that the number of migrants from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, where our root causes efforts have been focused, have significantly declined over the last 18 months. Now, of course, this could change over time, and we will continue to monitor these trends. But this gives us an indication of the positive impact our work has had thus far. And of course, the research is pretty clear in telling us that when we create economic opportunity in these regions, as we have done, we can potentially have a great impact on those who otherwise would leave home. and allow them the opportunity to stay in their home country, which is where they prefer to be. Today, it is my pleasure to announce additional private sector commitments, and in particular, a private sector commitment in total, in addition to the 3.2 of $956 million. So that brings us to a total of more than $4.2 billion to date. Today's announcement also includes commitments from the apparel, the textile, and the financial services industries. Since the launch of the call to action, our administration has collaborated with the Partnership for Central America to engage nearly 50 companies, foundations, and nonprofits to work together in this effort. Many of these companies and organizations are present here today, and again, I thank you. Our meeting today includes not only the work that we intend to do going forward, but working together to talk about how we can measure the success we have had thus far and continue to improve on the work we've done. For many who are at the original table, you will know that it has been built into our approach that we will devise metrics and be very clear, and I thank the university and Michelle for the work that has been happening to help us articulate the metrics by which we will then measure our success in real time, not waiting for years down the line, but in real time measure our success so that we can regroup, analyze where we are, and as necessary, improve our approach. The investments that we have made thus far are on track to meet goals set out by the Partnership for Central America, which include the creation of 1 million new jobs by 2032 and the inclusion of 6 million people in the formal financial system by 2027. The second announcement I am pleased to make today is the launch of a new phase of our public-private partnership, which we have named Central America Forward. This includes a new series of U.S. government commitments to complement and support the investments from the private sector. Specifically, one, we will facilitate infrastructure projects in the northern area of Central America. For example, we will help to identify clean energy projects, something that we're excited about around the world, but in this particular region where we know we can have great impact. Another example is the work that we will do on behalf of the government to provide technical assistance to help make these projects viable and to connect potential investors with these projects. Two, we will help finance these and other projects through the United States International Development Financial Corporation, also known as the DFC, to enable these projects to actually receive the support that we can, as the United States government, uniquely provide. Three, USAID and the Department of Labor are supporting a series of workforce development programs, which will train young leaders in the skills that are needed in the private sector. In particular, we are looking at technical skills in the agricultural industry and the IT sector. And finally, today, our private sector representatives will commit to what we have called a good governance, good jobs declaration. And essentially, this will outline our shared effort to combat corruption and to protect labor rights in the region. As we advance our efforts to address the root causes of migration, our administration is simultaneously working to ensure a safe, orderly, and humane processing system at the border. As I have noted, over the last 18 months, migration flows have slowed down from the northern Central America region. But at the end of last year, we saw a rising level of migration from other countries. Congress must fix our broken immigration system. And Congress must provide the necessary funds for border security. In the meantime, our administration will continue to use the tools that we have, which is why President Biden announced last month additional resources for border security. New and expanded lawful pathways under our immigration authorities, and consequences for those who fail to use available pathways. Since the President's announcement, there have been a 99% reduction of irregular migration from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. Ultimately, we need Congress to pass legislation that both enhances border security but fixes our broken immigration system. We are a nation of immigrants. We are a nation of immigrants. And it is immigrants who historically, in addition to all others, who have helped strengthen our country, strengthen our economy, and grow our ability to be innovative in a way that has been a model for other places around the world. So let us, all of us, as leaders, be it in the private or public sector, agree that we must not politicize this issue. Let us get in front of it and let us deal with it in a way that is productive and will strengthen our nation. There is also a serious issue of human smuggling, and I will say, as a former prosecutor, having worked on this issue as a line prosecutor and as Attorney General of California, what we see in these behaviors are really predatory actors. And we've got to take this seriously and hold these criminal organizations accountable. Their patterns are quite clear. Smugglers extort thousands of dollars from migrants and subject them to dangerous and inhumane conditions. We've seen examples of where migrants have been abandoned in the desert or packed into the back of a truck, left to die in the heat. Since April of 22, in just the last 10 months, we have made more than 7,000 arrests in this regard, which is the result of our historic increase in the resources that need to be put into arrests and prosecutions. With regard to drug smuggling in particular, we are concerned that what we have been seeing coming across includes deadly and illicit fentanyl trafficking. It has fueled the opioid crisis and is a leading cause of death among the 18 through 42-year-old population in the United States. So our dedication of additional resources, in particular additional personnel and scanning resources, technology, has resulted in a 200% increase in the seizure of fentanyl along the border in the last 2 years. When it comes to transnational criminal organizations, we must attack every aspect of their business and ensure swift and severe accountability for these activities. And that is the work that our administration has been doing, including sanctioning those who do business with known traffickers, freezing bank accounts, and restricting traffickers' access to the materials they use to produce their deadly drugs. So with all of that, I will end with where I started, which is to thank all the partners here for the work that you are doing. This is a complex issue. There are many facets to this, both in terms of what can happen when we don't address problems for which there are solutions, but there is also an aspect of this that really is about believing in human potential, understanding the capacity of all people, and doing what we uniquely have an ability to do with the resources we have, to invest in that potential, and to invest in the hope and the dreams and the desires of all people, to take care of themselves, their communities, and their families. That is the work of this group, guided by the optimism that I think always is the root of any progress here and around the world. So I thank you each for the amount of time, energy, and thought that you have put into our collaboration. And with that, I would like to ask Ajay Banga, who is the co-chair of the Partnership for Central America, to share his thoughts. Ajay brings decades of experience to business and to the private sector. Many of you have worked with him over the course of his career. It has been my great honor to work with you, Ajay, over the last 2 years. From the very first conversations we had, I believe back in February of 2021, when you put all that you have in terms of your skill, your experience, and your resources into allowing this to be as productive as it's been thus far. Ajay Banga, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Vice President, for those words, but also most importantly for your leadership. I think what the U.S. government and the Partnership for Central America have achieved in a relatively short period of time is no small feat, and we're very grateful to you, to your team with Phil and with Rebecca and Lindsay, but also all the U.S. government colleagues who are gathered here and all the regional and other partners of the Partnership for Central America. Of course, my colleagues are sitting right here without whom I would probably not be doing what I'm doing today. So I want to thank all of you for your effort and drive in making this happen. As you said, the Partnership for Central America consists of more than 75 corporate, academic, and non-profit partners. We're all committed to advancing job creation opportunities, but also to creating the enabling environment necessary to support those jobs in a smart and sustainable way in El Salvador, in Guatemala, and in Honduras. We're an independent, non-partisan, non-governmental organization. We serve as a mobilizer, we serve as a facilitator, we serve as a convener for investment in these northern Central American regional countries. If we execute this well, we see ourselves as a model for public-private partnerships, not just here, but in other emerging economies as well. As the Vice President said a little while ago, and I think the numbers bear a little bit of repeating because she has insisted on numbers and metrics, so let me repeat some of them. Since our launch in May 2021, the partnership has mobilized more than $4 billion in investment, procurement, and lending to support El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. In the past 18 months, partners have financially included more than 1 million individuals, provided digital access to more than 4 million individuals, created more than 15,000 jobs, and remember, jobs are what we are doing this for, and that's the one that we will keep a very sharp eye on, supported more than 4,500 farmers, and provided technical training to more than 15,000 individuals, with 3,500 trained for certification for employment. I think together these investments are building opportunities as we work to sort of get to supply chain integration across the Americas to support jobs and economic opportunity in the connected economies of the United States and Central America. And building on this progress, thanks to your leadership, Madam Vice President, Central America Forward to Me is a whole new framework that should help us to further scale this public-private partnership to a new level, because I think programs such as investment facilitation teams that will make investment opportunities possible for our new partners across the region, just that one program can make a big difference. And we're very proud today to be a part of the launch of Good Jobs, Good Governance Declaration, which upholds the standard for workers and the rule of law. Madam Vice President and everybody here, as we review the measurable progress, I'm underlining measurable, we achieved together in just 1.5 years, and we get to launch our next phase. I thank you, and I look forward to the positive impact that I believe that this unique public-private partnership will have on lives and communities. Thank you very much.
And that was the statement live from the White House. Vice President Kamala Harris, as she hosts the Central America Forward launch event. The issue of immigration is one that continues to plague many cities, especially states that are on the borders of the southern tip of the United States, Florida, Texas, and there are issues of people smuggling, as Vice President Harris mentioned, and there are issues of people coming into the United States who are undocumented and, in their activities, dangerous. How does America keep its borders safe and yet protect the rights of those who are seeking asylum? This is a condition that many who are of Central America and Southern American nationalities are finding themselves embroiled in a very strong way as deportation issues continue to arise and families are separated and children are feeling fearful that parents who may be undocumented workers could be deported. At the same time, citizens who are fearful that undocumented workers who are often paid less and are not likely to complain about it could be taking jobs away from those who are, in fact, citizens, official citizens of the United States. These are issues raised in elections all across the country. And for those who are of immigrant status, there is a strong drive to elect officials that are sensitive to their needs. Is the immigrant issue a divisive issue for the United States, and can it become one that unites the nation, which is, as Vice President Kamala Harris said, a nation of immigrants? That is the question being raised. And today, as we look at this effort by the White House to address the root causes of migration from Northern Central America, we also look at the politics of the countries in that region and what the conditions are that people are seeking to flee. Are they seeking political asylum? Are they seeking asylum from persecution? Are they seeking better economic opportunities? And how will their presence impact the states into which they migrate? As the Biden administration responds to the voters who have become naturalized citizens after their migration, they continue to explore the possibilities of increased migration and what this could mean to the American economy. Likewise, as Vice President Kamala Harris indicated, issues such as sex trafficking or trafficking migrant workers who are desperate for a way to earn a living could cause major damage among families and communities. And how will these issues be addressed? As a global community, the politics of nations that create a group of people that are needing to flee to escape to places where they are safe creates a refugee community that all nations that become the desired destination of such refugees are affected. So in short, everyone's problems are everyone's problems. How does the United States fix the problem of migration to North America by those in the Central American countries? Well, that's all for today. Listen in every day, Monday through Friday, here on Air Daily News. And we invite you to call in your good news reports at 515-605-9749 and share good news as you see it happen. There are people who are doing good deeds, and we want to make sure that they are recognized for their actions. As always, it is a choice how we want to impact those whose lives we touch. And before we go, we'll just share some of the good news that others have shared across the world. Good Deeds Day was held on a day in which this was encouraged. All people make a decision to enact a good deed. In a nutshell, every year we support global change makers who desire living in a better world to take impactful action by providing tools, inspiration, and a connected global network, because we believe that every person has the power to create positive change in their community and their world. Sherry Arison states, "I believe that if people will think good, speak good, and do good, the circle of goodness will grow in the world." Initiated in 2007 by philanthropist and businesswoman Sherry Arison, the first Good Deeds Day kicked off with 7,000 volunteers in Israel. Every year since then, Good Deeds Day unites people from around the world for one day dedicated to hashtag doing good. Of course, we believe doing good is for every day, yet gathering together for one day inspires a whole world of good. In 2011, Good Deeds Day went global with events in over 10 international cities. In 2012, Good Deeds Day reached Europe and teamed up with MTV Global, reaching over 24 million viewers. In 2013, 16,000 volunteers from 50 countries took part in hundreds of projects, including a kickoff with ABC Network in New York City. In 2014, the whole world jumped for good. Good Deeds Day collaborated with leading volunteer organizations as part of a grand-scale campaign to spread more good, and over 500,000 people took part. Since then, their team, partners, and the good being done has grown to reach millions. Sherry Arison states that 2019, we held our largest Good Deeds Day to date with over 3,900,000 volunteers from 108 countries. That's almost 8 million hours of service. And in 2020, there were so many people. She said, "We couldn't hold an official event. Hundreds of thousands of virtual volunteers showed up." And so now, today, Good Deeds Day, she says, is a global movement of people and organizations dedicated to doing good every day. The next Good Deeds Day will be on April 16th, 2023. So put it on your calendar and get ready to perform your good deed and join the rest of the world. That's all for today. I'm Naima Latif. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. Until tomorrow, enjoy the rest of your day.